Harper. Hits one in the air, looks back, it goes! Harper! The swing of his life!
MLB playoffs are near, and you know what that means, Alex?
Yep, Flippin' Bats will be staying up late and having all the fun.
From breaking down the most important stories in games, nobody's done what he's doing. Nobody, not even Babe Ruth.
To interviewing baseball's biggest stars.
I felt like I was pitching more stressed. I was trying to be so perfect.
No one covers America's pastime like us.
So as we sprint towards this year's World Series on Fox, please make sure to listen, follow, and subscribe to Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander and me, Alex Curry.
Baseball is fun, and so are we. We're going to have fun, dang it. We'll talk to you soon.
Big thanks to Audible for supporting The Instance. For a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500. That's audible.com/wow or texting wow to 500-500.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 515 for February 16th, 2018.
That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, 515, man. That's a lot.
I was paid a dollar every episode.
Yeah.
That I'd been on, I'd probably get about $30. That's like a couple of months sub.
Yeah,
I'm all right with that.
You're on a roll now, though. This is two in a week, two in a row. This
two
is crazy.
In a week, exactly.
Wow.
It's the glory of my life when three of the more demanding members of the Yogscast are on holiday.
Oh yeah, great. Good point. These
it's guys like
are
a mini holiday for me.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, I forgot.
I mean, all fairness, I'm being cruel.
Yeah,
I miss them greatly.
Yeah, of course you
and,
do.
Yeah,
you can't wait for them to be back.
I've been exceptionally busy, and I'm still here. So,
Yeah. Huzzah! Yeah.
Meanwhile, Patrick missed paternity leave with his single child. I've got two, and
mm-hmm.
I'm here,
mm-hmm.
and he's got one. Admittedly, it's very young and whatever.
Sure,
but I'm just come on, Patrick.
Young and whatever. I think he's got. I think he thinks maybe he's the lady. I think maybe he thinks his vagina was used.
You've got three kids, and you're here.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it seems like the more kids you have, the more likely you are to be here. It's
almost like they're avoiding responsibility of parenthood by being on a podcast. I see.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? It's like, oh no, I'm busy. Sorry. Oh, I want to get home early as well for bedtime. That's the best time. You know, when everyone's saying that they don't want to sleep. I love that bit. That's great.
Bedtime is the best time. There's some truth to that. But we assume he's fine. I actually haven't heard from him forever.
I haven't either. But I've seen him tweet a few times.
Yeah.
And obviously, we are very close friends.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Closest you could really be. Here's the funny thing. A lot of people, when they have kids, especially people who are in the out there being influencers online, social media folks and that sort of thing, they start Instagramming the hell out of whatever kids they have.
Oh, that's literally my Instagram feed is just my children.
Yeah, and he doesn't do it. I haven't seen a single shot of this baby yet. Like, not one.
Yeah, I don't know if I have, actually.
Yeah, so I think what's going on is he's being Mr. High and whole high-minded about, I believe it is not appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's taking the counterpoint to my, splurging out thousands of pictures of my adorable children.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know what? That is so done. It is not in fashion. I am still very much from France, and I'm very much about fashion and things. And so I will do exactly the opposite. And there you go.
Really
in fact,
good.
I think I sound better French than Patrick does. I think Patrick sounds as good as he doesn't do the French.
I don't think
well.
He sounds French at all. If I didn't know he was French, I would say he was something else, and I wouldn't be able to tell you what. He's a weird bug. But we're happy for him, and we'll continue to soldier on until we see his smiling French face once again, which I'm sure will be at some point.
It's beautiful. So poetic.
Quick fun show today. There's not a ton going on, but there's enough that we're going to want to talk about, especially this stuff. All right. So some people are mad. Some people are indifferent, certainly. And then there's a bunch of people who probably don't even want to hear this. So I want to let people know that there have been some public available stuff about some of the story stuff regarding Lordaeron and regarding Teldrassil, and perhaps some of the underlying causes of the conflict leading into
the namesake, the battle for Azeroth.
Yeah. So because of that, it's absolutely worth talking about. It's also important to note that Christy Golden, who now has a chief position in storytelling,
she got a full-time job, and she still gets to write books on the side.
Yeah, she's a hell of a gig she's got, I think.
Crazy. But that's what you got to do. You got to make yourself indispensable.
She publicly said some of this information is incorrect. So I think that's enough to say, yeah, we should talk about it.
So some of it is correct? I'm going to make a whole show out of it.
It's only. I feel like we can only assume that some of this is right.
So this we got to say exactly is spoilers. So people who don't want to have potential stories spoiled for them. And I think so it's broadcast text, which means it's text that comes up in those talking head boxes or just as a chat in your chat feed.
Right.
And so sometimes the ordering isn't quite there. So sometimes we, people have re-pieced the conversation and not got it quite right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's old strings of text that actually they're not going ahead with. So it's just straight up wrong and antiquated.
Yeah. And that's what, again, Christy Golden, here's her exact quote. Bear in mind that some of the stuff that has been unearthed is not accurate. So
she uses the word bear and unearthed. Mm. So I think there's going to be a subterranean sort of Furborg sort of bear race. Excited by that confirmation.
Yeah, finally. From Christy Golden. Yeah, finally she has let it out. She's like the whispering of the old gods, really.
I think so.
Yeah, she says
you've
something.
You've got to really unpick it. You've got to unpick every single thing that these Blizzard wizards tweet because there's secret in them, their words.
Yeah, there really are. So it appears that, now that we've given everyone fair warning, it appears that on the surface anyway, that maybe Sylvanas, current war chief of the Horde, ordered the...
How cynical are you? The current war chief.
Ordered the attack on her homeland, her former homeland.
She was never there. She was a high elf. She was in Silvermoon.
No, that's true. She's not a night elf. You're right. She's not a night elf. But you know, she's got friends there.
Well, originally, I guess they were cast out from. I don't know if Teldrassil was around then, but they were cast out, I think, from Hyjal, for practicing arcane magic.
Yeah.
And so Sylvanas, she went off with the. Kel'Dorei.
Wait, all the sisters got booted for that? All the sisters got kicked?
Yeah, the Windrunner sisters, they were of the kind of the ruling cast, and so all the sisters were there, and they all went off. And I was joking to some of the Blizzard guys a little while ago that I want to have a Cadence of Time instance or quest where you travel back in time. And you know how in Cadence of Time, it like often you get race changed into a human to avoid like, you know, confusing the timelines. I want basically everyone to be race changed as a human male and to like save a kitten from a tree for three young elven sisters whose cat's in the tree.
Yeah.
And you just do it as a little kind of side quest. Don't really think much of it. You later discover it's the Windrunner sisters.
Oh my
and
Lord.
Why is that significant? Mm. They've all got a thing for human males. What's it about? All these, you know, all these elf ladies, and they're all like, you know, I want myself a human male. Mm. So we had Varisa with Ronin. We've had Tyrellion and Ilaria, and now we had Nathandos and Sylvanas. It's like, come on, ladies, come on! I get it, I get it. You're hot for me.
Oh yeah,
because of the Caverns of Time. You know, you were when you were children. I saved your cat from a tree, very heroic act, and that then instilled a certain lust within all of the sisters for more of these male humans,
virile humans.
So I'm hoping that happens.
If
it does, then I'm just gonna just accept, I don't know, like 2 months free subscription. 3 months,
is that what you'll take?
Three months, and that's all I'm happy. So if it's in game, just be thankful and happy for me.
Actually, I have a question for you. How do you do your subscription? Do you do the 3 months, 6 months?
I do it 6 months. I do it in big chunks because technically it's cheaper. And it's not like I'm not going to be subscribed.
Right.
So
I do the same. It's just part. It's a bill I pay. You know,
it's. I think they. It's something like you have like three subscriptions. Anything more than that, and people start looking at what they're subscribed to.
Yeah.
So normally it's like, you know, your broadband or your, you know, a game or Netflix or Spotify or something like that. You know, and then you know, once you get too many subscriptions, people start looking at them and going like, oh, maybe actually I don't need to. I'm not really playing that much Warcraft at the moment. Maybe I'll cancel that.
Yeah, or I'm not watching HBO as much as I used to, or whatever it is. Yeah,
exactly.
That's true. Every once in a while, y'all should just look at your bank account and go, I got like 10 of these. I should probably trim back. Just a little, you know, financial advice from us here.
There you go. Podcast. But don't listen to me for financial advice.
No. So she has apparently ordered this attack on the Night Elf homeworld.
In fact,
homeland.
The string that's been data mined. It says, War Chief, may I ask why we want to capture Teldrassil? Oh, so they want to capture Teldrassil. And Sylvanas replies, time is sensitive here. This is a great Sylvanas.
Yeah.
But I respect that you seek to know more. Sylvanas points to Silithus on the map. No matter what I do, this will change the balance of power. And Azerite sightings are coming in from across the world. Champions, we still don't know its full potential. We only know it will create a new generation of warfare.
Wait, what is
what
this
will
voice?
War look like in 20 years? In 100 years?
What is this voice?
I've just said Sylvanas. This is what she sounds like.
Okay, all right. That's fine.
The Horde's children and their children's children and their children's children's children. Potentially even their children's 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 will curse our memories as they burn. I think that's particularly poignant, really.
Whoa. She said, as they burn, she said?
Yeah, as they burn. She said, basically, look, no, you know, like, if we don't do something now, and she says, if life had any mercy at all, you and I would exist in peace for the rest of our days. We have both seen enough war. But neither of us has seen the last of it. The Horde and the Alliance have been at a stalemate. Both of our armies have been exhausted against the Legion. But therein, I see an opportunity. We take this Azerite and use it to conquer Kalimdor! We build the greatest empire ever known! One that is untouchable against the Alliance! With the seas parting our lands rather than mere borders, we can live and prosper without conflict. That is how you ensure the survival of the Horde for the next 100 years, champion. So I'm excited. I'm excited here because Sylvanas has a great idea, which is she's going to use this uranium and build nukes, and she's going to take over Kalimdor.
Yeah.
So
she wants the entire continent is what she wants.
Exactly. And in all fairness, that's kind of what we know is to be happening in Battle for Azeroth. The Horde get Kalimdor, the Alliance get the Eastern Kingdoms. Mm. You know, so the Alliance have their own plans for Lordaeron, which is apparently in retaliation for the burning of Teldrassil.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that seems to be, and we all kind of assume that maybe, but there was all these rumors earlier on, and I'm not saying some of this may not still happen. Like, this may have been a false flag. Ghen Greymane ordered the burning and therefore made it look like the Horde was making this horrible offensive.
I would like that, to be honest with you. Yeah. I would like there to be all sorts of, because I don't really want Sylvanas to be another Garrosh. Mm. Like, we've had the heroic, I want to do what's best for the Horde, but my blinkered view of what is best happens to be some form of genocide.
Right.
I just, you know, I kind of want Thrall back.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you look at Thrall and you look at kind of what he did and what the Horde was under him, this honorable, you know, kind of orcish honor, you know, they're people, but they're green. And Horde was, you know, not evil. They were just not traditionally beautiful,
right?
Except when obviously when the Blood Elves joined, and then it was over the top.
Well, that was his entire thing, though. They're otherwise a bloodthirsty, hideous race who is hell bent on complete destruction of everything in their path. Thrall brings to them, brings the other races together in such a way that says, no, not necessarily. Perhaps we can fight against our own nature, you know. And that
the Horde
that
is
was
Battlestar
him.
Galactica,
right?
You know, they're this ragtag group of survivors, and they are surviving, and
under Thrall, they thrived.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Thrall was like, oh, actually, I'm the president. It's like Obama. And Obama's like, you know what? I got to go lead the UN. It's like, no, you're on our team. He's like, no, I must lead the UN. And that's what Thrall went off to do. He went to lead the UN, the Earthen Ring.
Yeah.
And he was communing with Azeroth and killing Deathwing.
He's
and
just doing this out in the nether thing, whatever it's called, this twisting deal.
The
He's
maelstrom. Just,
the maelstrom.
Exactly.
He's just doing
this.
Yeah,
he was just there, just hearthstoning, just standing there. Come on. I'm channeling my hearthstone. I don't know where I am. I want to get home.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he left, and the Horde then obviously had, you know, Orcish Hitler. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame because,
yeah,
you know, he was a cool character. I liked Garrosh, and I think, you know, the way he was dealt with was kind of cool and kind of not. And it was okay. Then obviously we had Vol'jin. And then obviously Legion happened.
But see, this is when Thrall comes out. What happens is somebody else is in charge. Sometimes he's the one that approves it or appoints it, which is what happened in Garrosh's case. Garrosh gets completely out of hand. Thrall has to come back and fist him in the Grand. Okay?
Yeah, but I don't think like John Adams was worried like, oh, Washington's going to come back and, you know, choke slam me. And I don't think, you know, I think that Thrall is the father of the modern day Horde. Like, he unified the races and the tribes, and, you know, he made the Horde what it is. He's George Washington. Mm. And, you know, Washington tried to teach us how to say goodbye to Scott, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't listen. We
no.
didn't learn.
No, we didn't.
Anyway, so Vol'jin was kind of, and I think they were like, people don't like him. Like, he's not cool enough. I don't think they gave him a chance, really. He had like an expansion and it was Warlords.
It was short.
Isn't fair.
Yeah.
Isn't fair on anyone.
No.
So then he's dead. But obviously with Warcraft, are you ever really dead? Like, you know, I think in the battle we'll be playing around with his ashes and hanging out with some of the lower of deaths. Kind of, he's a friend. So who knows if we see Vol'jin again. But then to have Sylvanas and then for her to start kind of inkling towards kind of maybe being evil or like not making smart decisions is a little bit scary in that are we going to have to deal with Sylvanas and we're going to have another war chief? And I feel like, you know, each expansion, I might as well just like, oh, and who's going to be next time? You know, are we going to have Sourfang? Is he going to lead the Horde? Are they going to be like, yeah, we're going to put a green orc back in there. It's, you know, it's what people want, you know, or are we just going to be able to have, you know, I want Sylvanas to succeed. Basically, I want her to be a unifying, strong leader that actually steps up and is deserving of that.
Yeah.
As much as her placement may be an old god plan,
right,
and you know that they whispered to Vol'jin, not the lower, so that's why he picked Sylvanas, and she's, you know, killed herself on Saronite after Lich King, so Saronite is Yogg-Saron's blood, and so maybe that meant that she's been evil ever since then, and you know, it's just like, oh, I just don't want her to be evil.
Yeah,
you know,
but
can't we just have her be a person?
Do you think Blizzard's trying to? Do you think Blizzard's trying to? I mean, in a lot of ways, this expansion is being seen as a bit of a reset. Do you think Blizzard's saying, "All right, well, we're back to what makes Warcraft Warcraft," and in that scenario, the archetypes are the shiny alliance good, the dirty Horde bad, and we want you all to get back in that mindset. Do you feel like that's happening a little bit?
I just don't think that works. I mean, you know, I don't know. I play Horde, and so I don't see my character. I'm a Tauren paladin. Like, the Tauren are some of the most noble races on Azeroth. The paladins are bastions of light and goodness, mm-hmm. and I'm the bad guy. No, like, you know, I don't mind being the bad guy and having a strong sense of what I think is right.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think I don't think the characters have a moment kind of to develop. Mm. If you keep cycling everyone out, if it becomes like Game of Thrones is great when someone significant dies because right. you're like, oh, I've been invested in this character the whole time and then just snap.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want more time to be invested with Sylvanas and everything that's going on. And we don't know the whole picture.
No.
But it seems like her motivation is, look, there's this new super powerful, potent magic rock called Azerite, and we are going to try and get our hands on as much of it as possible and we are going to use that newfound power to help strengthen the Horde's borders and give us some actual physical distance from the Alliance so that we don't have to worry about, oh, are they just going to step over from Ashenvale and attack Orgrimmar?
Yeah, they found a weapon.
It makes sense.
They found a super weapon. I mean, the Alliance is also finding it, but they're finding the super weapon and they want to use it to bring the Alliance low. Like, that's the plan. And I don't think that that's all that different than what perhaps the Alliance would like to do. The bigger question is, did she or didn't she? If she ordered the retaking or the taking of Teldrassil, that's one thing. If she gets there, and here's my current theory. If they get there, the army comes there, and they are there to take it, and those there said, no, you'll take a burnt husk of what it was then, because we're not leaving. We'd rather burn our home to the ground than let you have it. That's possible.
That's cool.
And that's not exactly, that still doesn't make it a good decision, or it doesn't reflect well on her in terms of leadership, but at the very least doesn't suggest that she just wants to burn everything.
War's messy. You might not intend to burn down the city, but, oh, actually, in trying to take it, we burnt down the city. Whoops. But, I mean, we've secured the area, and so, yeah, it's not a great success, but, at least the Night Elves aren't in our back garden anymore.
Right.
Like, that would be great. Like, I just hope the motivations are one. I mean, Ultra Mecha Jeff in the Twitch chat says, I'm hoping the burning of Teldrassil cauterizes the wound of Azeroth. And it's not quite the same place, but even then, that could be kind of cool. Mm. If, like, it's, someone who's like, look, if we don't do this, the planet's going to bleed out.
Right.
We need to do something. Teldrassil and the other great trees, their roots go all through Azeroth to the Titan and potentially old gods below.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw up in Northrend where the Forbergs were, I'm trying to remember the name of the tree, but in Grizzly Hills, the big tree.
Right.
That was where they tried to grow another world tree, but it accidentally stuck some roots into Yogg-Saron's prison and became corrupted, and they had to chop it down, and it was still corrupting the whole area.
Right.
So maybe the burning of Teldrassil is because, in Sargeras's blade, it shifted some stuff around, or it's made it so that the tree itself is dying or becoming infested or something like that.
Mm.
I just hope that it isn't Sylvanas is like, someone goes like, Lady Warchief, we have them on the run. The city is ours. And she's like, no, burn it. And the filthy night elves with it. Or something like that. I just don't want her to go pantomime villain.
I don't think she will. I don't know why I think this. I just don't think they go there because they haven't given us enough here to know for sure. But I don't think they go there. Like they know, they already know the Garrosh hate was thick, man. Like he was a problem, and I like that Garrosh was a thing. I just don't want to do it again. Like, I just don't want to
it's cool, and I think I think Garrosh almost became a caricature of himself at the end.
Yeah.
But the final showdown with Thrawn and him being like, no, you made me. You don't try and shirk this responsibility. You put me in charge. You knew who I was and what I stood for. This is on you as much as it's on me.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was a really powerful moment. And so, we crap on Blizzard for pantomime bad guys and redemption stories and stuff like that. But there are some fantastic, characters. And I think, I would hope that Sylvanas isn't made to be some evil ne'er-do-well.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I don't, again, I'm kind of into this idea that Battle for Azeroth is about what makes them adversaries and making those clearly defined roles again. And I think that's interesting, but what I hope is, and this isn't just a bias because I play mostly Horde, or maybe it is, maybe I'm being dishonest with myself, but I just don't want our leader to be a butthole this entire time.
Yeah. So let's go on to the Battle for Lordaeron where our leader is a massive butthole.
All right.
So the Battle for Lordaeron in theory, sequentially, it should happen after the burning of Teldrassil.
Mm.
And it's meant to be where Battle for Azeroth starts.
Right.
And so with that,
Know this, by the way, from when the Alpha currently, it drops you into this, right? This is where we...
No, the Alpha puts you in kind of after this.
Mm.
So you
Oh, you watch the expansion, or you watch the deal, the fight, and then you're now in the aftermath of it, right?
So you kind of, yeah. I mean, I think we will play through the actual battle for Lordaeron, but unless the alpha's updated since I last played, you don't currently. When you roll a tune, you're on the islands, right. Not on Azeroth.
Right.
But you can do. There's a horde scenario where you go to Stormwind to try and capture some prisoners of war off the back of the Battle for Lordaeron.
Okay.
So there is some stuff linking that, but I don't believe the Battle for Lordaeron's in just yet, but
okay.
Maybe it is.
Okay.
Anywho, I haven't played it either way. Mm. But as it stands, the Battle for Lordaeron, you've got the Alliance, and they're all, you know, heroes, focus on the reinforcements first. Mm-hmm. Then we can deal with the Shaman's threat. Do it quickly. My ice barriers won't hold forever. I just realized it must be Jaina Proudmoore. And this is a great line. His winds are strong.
His winds are strong.
But together, we are stronger.
Oh, wow.
Persevere, champions.
Wow, that's a great line.
It seems we're all just good friends. Together, we could do anything. Mm-hmm. I believe in you because we're the Alliance.
Whose winds are strong?
The shamans. Oh. It must be the shaman calling forth the air elements.
His
winds are strong. It's like, yeah, he's been eating beans for days. You're lucky that you can stand this close.
Yeah, no kidding. This is me
to
after...
my side, quickly. We must keep pushing before the horde has a chance to react. And then I guess this is like Anduin or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, today we will claim our victory over the Eastern Kingdoms and take back that which was stolen from us so long ago.
Yeah.
We stand as one to fight for those who were lost at the Battle for Teldrassil, for the families who have had lost their homelands. That despicably cowardly act of war made it clear that we must fight for the survival of our next 100 generations. So again, both sides echoing each other, that this is for their factions' future generation survival.
Yeah.
They must do these atrocities so that they can survive.
Right.
And both having the same game plan. We're going to take over our continent. Oh, we're going to take over our continent. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, I don't know. It's almost like if Sylvanas was the one who did it first, that Anduin was like, hey, Sylvanas, sorry, I haven't been king for long. Can I copy your homework? And she's like, yeah, sure. Just, you know, don't make it look the same.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. It's great. Yeah.
Word this a little differently. Yeah. That's all in service of the game, right? Like you got to give both sides kind of a thing that's similar to do in a thematic
way.
Well,
I think thematically though you can still have some subtleties, like in terms of if you had the Alliance retaking Lordaeron because Arthas's sister, who's in the priest campaign. Is like, you know what? No, it's my birthright. I'm going to do this. My people, you know, I'm fed up of seeing my people being raised as undead. Like, this has gone on too long. And Anduin's like, you know what? You're right. We shouldn't have allowed this to be here for fear of the Horde, who are already doing messed up stuff. Like, we need to do something.
Right.
You know, but it's turning into a sort of, oh, well, we're doing it for the same reasons you guys are, but... we are the good guys, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, I don't know. So
right.
we will see. We will see. But anyway, what the joy here is, it looks like Saurfang and Sylvanas don't get along.
Yeah, there's a bit of him in the cinematic being pretty stoked about her for the Horde moment. And him,
yeah, exactly, and that's the thing. I think, you know, they're in the heat of battle. They're all part of Team Horde at that point, but the politics that sometimes does something a bit different. Mm. Make
haste. The war chief awaits. Yes, war chief. Then it is time to finish this once and for all. Saurfang, rally your troops. I will prepare the Azurite machine.
Lord,
I like it. The voice is completely wrong here because it should be Saurfang, rally your troops. I will prepare the Azurite machine, and that's what it should be. And it should be straight up Dr. Evil. Who
Who has an Azurite machine?
Nobody. It's and a dumb name.
I hope that Christy Golding is saying that this isn't accurate, because they're going to come up with a much better name than the Azurite machine. You know,
I couldn't agree more. It jumps out of the page like the dumbest name ever.
I will prepare Preparation H. It's like, yeah, it's not. It's just, come on, Blizzard.
Well, that continues the Illidan
theme. The Death Star. So we'll see.
You know what? I gotta. That's actually a good point. We need to just make a point here. And also, Christy Golden writes a lot of Star Wars stuff, so this is fun. But Star Wars is full of terrible names. It's all kinds of dumb names. Death Star is dumb. The word Star Wars is dumb. We've all gotten used
Star
to
Wars.
It. It's iconic.
It's a war in the stars. That's
right.
A great name.
It's dumb. It's all dumb.
What it is. Hey, do you want to go watch Star Wars? That sounds amazing. Yes, I do want to see a war in the stars.
Yeah. What do you got there? A saber made of light? Let's call that a lightsaber. Like, it's just
They were originally
dumb.
Called laser swords, which I'm a big fan of.
Really? You liked laser swords, huh?
Right. Laser swords, a laser sword. Anyway,
it's a pretty good doctor.
Anyway. Champions, your war chief commands you. It's time to take arms against the Alliance. Their numbers are strong, but we are stronger. We are the Horde. We will conquer those who bring us harm. Loktar Ogar. I like it as well, because they've gone with the whole "together we can do anything." Everyone got your friendship bracelets on? Come on, let's do this for the Horde. You know, anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
And then I think this is, I think this is Sarafang, this next bit, because it sounds really cool.
Yeah.
It's soldiers of the Horde. Your brothers and sisters lie wounded on the battlefield. There is no honor in this victory if we abandon our own.
Yeah, he's right.
And it's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. And that's, I think Sarafang is the thrall understudy step in, where they're like, we need a green orc that's going to be moral, you know, good.
Yeah, he's his stand-in in situations like this,
like,
for sure.
You know, he's so good at fighting that he doesn't have to, like, oh, it's war. Anything counts, it's war. I don't want to die. He's like, look, I can fight and still be honorable.
Yeah.
You know, I can let a guy get back up, pick up his sword. I know I'm still going to kill him afterwards.
Right.
I don't have to kill him unarmed on the ground.
Right.
I like that level of badass.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's like, then we got like, slay them all, champions. Mark my words, King Anduin and his army did not come here for our amusement. They mean to destroy us. Show them no mercy, for they would show you none in return. Mm. And it's all, you know, it's all there. And then we get this really crazy World War One line where it's gas masks. Get your gas masks here. And if you're feeling sassy, you can pick up one of these backpacks and get to work. So I guess that Galawix is peddling his war wares.
I hope that's Gaslow and not Galawix, though.
Nah, Gaslow would be a great... If Galawix is a baddie because he serves at the master's table,
then
Gaslow would make a great goblin faction leader. And it brings Ratchet in from being weirdly neutral when they don't need to be.
Yeah.
Especially if they are making it so that Kalimdor's Horde, it'd be weird to have a neutral port that allows you over there, but who knows. Sylvanas says, do not question me, Sarafang. We must draw their attention away from my war machine. So it's changed from an Azurite machine to a war machine. So it can destroy the towers. Casualties are inevitable.
Great. Sacrifices are going to be made. Oh, boy.
And this is where it gets messy. Honor means nothing to a corpse, Sarafang. You have the luxury of underestimating death, but it is something which with I am intimately familiar. Maybe you don't care if your people die so long as it's honorable. But to me, this Horde is worth saving. Anyone who disagrees does not deserve to stand among us. So die your warrior's death, High Overlord Sarafang. It means little to me. Perhaps I will raise your broken body to serve me once more. Or perhaps you will have a chance to say hello to your son.
What an a-hole. She's such an a-hole, dude.
You don't bring up the dead son.
Yeah, that's bad.
Oh, that's messed up.
Yeah, I don't like any of that conversation.
But the thing is, so basically in the scenario that is on the alpha, Sarafang is being held in Stormwind.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look necessarily like he is necessarily
a full-on prisoner of war in terms of potentially he's defected.
Oh,
or, well, what? I think the idea is that Anduin recognizes that the only future to the Horde and the Alliance having some form of lasting peace would be to have an orc like Sourfang at the heart of the Horde.
Yeah, have him at the table.
So, like,
sure.
So in the scenario you run as a Horde player, you're going to liberate some trolls and some other Horde soldiers, but not Sourfang.
Yeah.
He's there, but the Sylvanas isn't sending you to save him. So,
right.
Who knows?
I don't know what that means. Yeah, there's still clouds on.
So,
on
I mean, I think already we're seeing that the factions within the Horde are getting at each other a little bit much. Mm-hmm. Last time this happened, we ended up having a raid instance at Elgrimmar. So,
oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I don't want to do that. See. I don't want to do that again. Maybe we'll do it this time at Stormwind. And
who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, as the kind of the kind of instant carries on, they're like, "Where's Sourfang gone? There's no time." And they basically start nuking the city with blight, so the Undercity itself becomes completely uninhabitable. Mm. So that's the goal, I guess, was to from a Blizzard design perspective, it's great because you can just basically leave the old city there, make it that if players go down there they die, and then you in theory could do something with the ruins above if you want to.
None of this tells us any more about where the undead are going to go, right?
No, so that's the thing. So what we have here is we have the Night Elf population has been displaced. Teldrassil is gone. And the undead population has been displaced. Mm. And it may be that a burnt out Teldrassil would make a fantastic, spooky, Tim Burton-esque undead city. Mm. And they use that location physically to build a brand new, spooky, undead city. Mm. That may be cool.
That's interesting.
And it may be that the Night Elves, form a new kind of elven committee and rebuild Lordaeron. Mm. It may be that the Gilneans finally clear up their act and Gilneas houses the Night Elves, mm-hmm. or Gilneans can't do that, and so they cohabit Lordaeron with the Night Elves. You know, it gives them a chance to kind of shuffle stuff around.
Yeah, and it does, and it gives you a chance to truly separate that world in half too. You know,
yeah, and because of the technical issues around the Burning Crusade, the Draenei are expected to stay on the Azure Mist Isles, which is in theory Kalimdor, and Silvermoon is expected to stay above the Eastern Kingdoms, above Western Plaguelands.
Yeah.
And I believe that's purely because of how they are currently built, and that basically they need to just rebuild Azeroth and delete the old ones.
You mean like weird. You're saying there's technical reasons why they can't move that?
Yeah, stuff. Like I had a tour around Blizzard years and years and years and years ago, and at the time, and I think this was before, maybe around Cataclysm, maybe later, I can't remember. But someone there said that at that point in time, they weren't even able to load in Silvermoon into their tools. That were around at the time.
Right.
Like Silvermoon was built with a load of tricks and mirrors and was a mess with their current pipeline, mm-hmm. and their current tools and all the rest. So that's why we haven't really seen much development there. It wasn't allowed to be flying and all the rest because it basically needs to be completely rebuilt. So what they tend to do when they have these, we need to completely rebuild it, is we get a big, huge story plot that means that the thing gets destroyed or something like that.
Right.
So
it does make me think that these two very old parts of this game are Undercity and the Big Tree. It would be interesting to hear behind the scenes if part of this uprooting is the ability to reset and kind of get things technically in a new place, and then
I wouldn't
start
be surprised
there.
Again, if it helps motivate the story and the reason why these two locations, but equally, like, Lordaeron's super iconic And to have that reclaimed and potentially see this evolving world where, hey, you know that ruin from Warcraft 3?
Yeah.
It's now been rebuilt. You know, Warcraft as a franchise has lived longer now as an MMO than it did before as an RTS.
Yeah, which is crazy.
So having these evolutions and it being alive is cool and needed. So I'm personally excited for them to do exactly that. And, you know, we just have to see what else they can do. There's so many amazingly cool areas of Azeroth that are still fairly, you know, quite untouched.
Yeah.
And it's like I was fooling around in Silithus the other day, and it's right next to Un'Goro Crater. And when you fly up there, you've got the sword sticking in Silithus and the wound. And it's like, oh my God, this is huge.
It's really
cool. Crazy.
Yeah.
And then you turn around, you look at Un'Goro, and it looks like there's like maybe 4 polygons for a tree. And it's just like, oh, that doesn't sit
it bums
well
me out.
This.
I know.
And that's the problem. Every time they do something new and put it in the old world, is it highlights all of the surrounding area, how that kind of needs some love as well. And it's just, you know, it's been a long time since Cataclysm.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the update. And it's like, oh, and they're like, do we really have the time or resources to rebuild the whole world again?
Yeah.
Oh.
You got to have these story. I agree about the story motivation. If you get a good story idea and it involves this, you basically you're justifying that work by.
You have to. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think is fine. Yeah. That's great. I really want. Okay. Here's a question for you. What do you think happens if, the expansion launches, let's say we're 3 or 4 months into it. And somebody comes along and just says, you know, I never did play that World of Warcraft. I'm going to give that thing a spin. And they hop in and they're like, oh, these Night Elves are cool. I'm going to be a Night Elf and a Druid, and I'm going to start today. Do they start in an instanced old Teldrassil non-burned out thing? And then that never shows up till later?
You don't, until 110, none of this happens.
See, that's crazy.
So you only see it at 110. And that's cool in terms of people get to experience a evolving world. It obviously introduces some complexities around like if you want to go to silver to Undercity, I'm sure there'll be like a bronze dragon somewhere nearby who says, hey, you want to go to the old Undercity, you know, and it's like, okay, cool. But by default it will be an Alliance stronghold, but who knows if it will remain that way. Maybe the undead will take it back.
It just seems like it's so phasing at such a large level of phasing. We're used to phasing in the game, but it's usually small things like the Wrathgate thing and a few other things like that. And this
but we've
is
seen
huge.
With Silithus, you know, that sword, you can speak to a bronze dragon and it all goes back to boring old Silithus. Mm-hmm. And you realize, oh, I get why Sargeras stabbed here, because there was nothing. It was just loads of insects and nothing. It's
why I call it syphilis, by the way. That's the reason I say it that way. Syphilis.
Silithus. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
But it's holy moly. The reason behind these changes is, you know, lore supports the gameplay, which supports the business. And so it's very unlikely that, for example, we would have a reason to rebuild Dalaran again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it twice, I guess. So, you know, they'll leave it a little while. You know, we've got the Draenei have the Exodar still. And so, you know, they could maybe rebuild that or do some magic after they salvage from the old, you know, ship of the Grand Light Army, whatever.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
That's a way to, you know, get them off of the island and across to the Eastern Kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can just be a big floating city in the sky like Dalaran.
And
Silvermoon, you know, it's got the Sunwell in it, so it's pretty fixed, but maybe they can transfer it somewhere, or, you know, they can
someone in the chat is saying that that Silvermoon is actually like hard coded into Outland, like in terms
it's part of
its,
Outland. Yeah, it's on the same map as is Azure Mist,
yeah, which is crazy.
So that's the thing. So but I mean, at the same time, that's why it's like super messy and it's super hard to fool around with that. And it was, like I said, different pipelines, different tools, and a really long time ago. You've got to remember, this was done Burning Crusade. Like, that's like
07.
A decade.
07, yeah. 06, 07, whatever it was. Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you wouldn't look at a lot of other games of that age ago.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some of those don't run on your system anymore. You know, they're just not compatible with where technology is.
Right.
But, you know, like Beat Smokey says, how about the Gnome City? You know, how about Gnomeregan? You know, the Gnomeregan starting experience after the big quest where we had the trolls retaking the Echo Islands, Isles, and Gnomeregan, you know, we got the beginning bit of it back. But it's still, in theory, under kind of enemy control. And wouldn't that make a great allied race introduction quest they retake it?
Yeah.
But then why retake it and why put a city right next to Ironforge? Makes no sense.
No, right.
So what would be better is to nuke it, have a big, like, there you go, boom, there's a big crater, and maybe we put something else cool there. And then you build a new Gnome City where you need to have a hub in the next expansion.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. So now they've got new Gnomeregan. It'd be spelled GG. You spell it GNU. Gnomeregan. You know, it would be beautiful.
Yeah.
And I would love to say GG. Yeah. I'd go back to a gnome in a heartbeat if we had something
cool
like that.
Yeah, we had a GG thing, sure. But okay, they've did this with, I'm trying to remember, so the starting areas in vanilla for gnomes was just, they just started where the dam...
They started with the road.
And same with trolls and orcs. Like, the same deal happened there before they expanded that. I really liked the way they expanded those, and I thought that was really cool, but they didn't really do, on the troll side anyway, they didn't really have a big story reason other than, well, I mean, I guess they kind of did. They're like, well, we came over here to these islands and built all this shit up, and so we're strong again. We're no longer at the, you know, we're not just this weird slave race, and that was cool, but I guess I'm excited for this expansion in that if we're going to make this all about the home fight again, this is all about, you know, ally versus horde, and that's it. And the things surrounding it, like, it's a chance to just tweak all sorts of stuff. And I like this idea. I like the idea of resetting our expectations about who lives where and why, and what are the story reasons why an entire race has to be uprooted and moved someplace else. You know, the goblins sort of had that with...
Exactly. And there's... I think we're meant to go back to Kazan in Battle for Azeroth.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to see what is this place like post-cataclysm eruptions. The Azerite, does it have anything close to it in terms of Kadurite, which was the mineral that the goblins mined and gave them their intelligence? You know, is there anything linking those? Is there other stuff? You know, if Azerite is the blood of... Azeroth, is Kajumite the blood of some other being, or, you know, old god or something, or who knows? You know, we've been kind of tricked out pretty badass by the old gods before, so who knows?
Yeah, we'll have to see. Well, anyway, not too spoilery, but it's, you know, fun to talk about, and
and it potentially all completely wrong,
right? We don't
as
know
with all these things at this stage.
Somebody had reminded me. I guess it was John Jagger was reminding me that there was some unearthed stuff right around just before Legion came out, or before the Alpha or Beta or something, and it turned out to be a complete misdirection. So it's not beyond them to do that to seed things that they know are going to throw us off the path a little bit.
Blizzard has the ability to encrypt game files that they don't want data mined.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's quite useful for them in terms of their marketing to give people like us things to talk about and keep the game exciting and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And equally, it's quite useful if they're not sure about something, they can kind of, oh, let's see what people think if this. So, like, for example, they've changed how they handle NPC races. So like the Volpera are categorized in the same way that a playable race would be in data mining. And it apparently gives them a lot more freedom around, you know, what gear they can put on them and all of the rest.
Right.
But equally, it raises the question, oh, hang on, would they be an allied race? And then people were like, are people excited about that? Mm. Do people want those? Mm-hmm. That's really interesting from a designer perspective, just getting that kind of reaction off of people. Oh, maybe
it's a more pure, it's a more pure and honest reaction than you're going to get from like a PR release or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if you announce it and everyone hates it, it's too late.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's data mined and everyone's like, oh, the last thing the Horde needs is a cutesy fox race. Come on, Blizzard. What are you talking about? And they're like, okay, guys, calm down. It's data mined. It's not a release. It's not a thing.
Right. And they can shift gears without looking like they're yanking, You know, yeah.
But I'm sure they're too big of a machine to do that anyway. But anyway, like I said, anything you see data mined, I tend to think is more often than not meant to have been seen. Mm. So
I can see that.
Take that for what you will.
A couple other quick things going on right now in the alpha. The item squish is in. So if you have a level 1,000, let's say legendary item or something, that thing is now 280. 970 down to 250. Eye level 940 down to 220. So, hey, yo, item squish happening. Mm.
It's mad. Premades are at item level 180. And killing mobs is, you know, it's like two and a bit rotations. Like it's not huge. It's not scary. The thing I found more on my on a pre-made paladin is I was getting close to dying mm-hmm. quite a few times. Mm-hmm. That I felt a lot more squishy. So it feels like at least, you know, damage in feels tougher. Post squish.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah. It's always weird when they do this, but we'll see how it goes. For a second major squish in the lifetime of the game, I guess. First being
but it kind of needs it. You know, oh, it does need it. You know, like, you know, I was playing Antorus the other day and it was just, you know, 6-7 figure numbers coming up. And you're just like, I don't know. Is that a big one?
Is that a big, you know, I don't know. Did I crit for a lot right then?
Exactly. Did I just do 10 million or did I do 100,000? How many? Oh, it's gone now. What is it? Yeah. You right. just don't have the same visual impact.
Yeah. At least not in real time. You can look at logs and things, mm-hmm. but that's boring. So I agree. Also, I don't know why they just don't. Well, I guess they kind of are doing it every other expansion now because they did it in Warlords and now they're doing it again. And there's only been one expansion in between.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
They should.
I think that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, the game feels good anyway. The numbers are kind of superfluous. And once you play for a half hour, you forgot all about the change. First aid looks like it's going away. At least it sounds like it. Here's the biggest indicator. All the original first aid achievements are listed in the Battle for Azeroth Alpha as feats of strength. That usually means no longer achievable, which is not great for those who are achievement junkies and want to try to get everything, although they probably already have them. But anyway, they're gone. So some are saying, hey, first aid going to be a tailoring deal and that's it. So
which kind of is good in that it gives tailors something to sell, mm-hmm. like, because we don't really buy gear, really. They've got their leg enchants or whatever they made.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it'd be cool.
Yeah,
I think it'd be cool.
It'd be all right.
I think, you know, first aid's one of those things that if you're a hybrid or healing class is just a chore. And then if you're a warrior, is a life send. And it's, I don't think we're going to see many tailoring warriors for it, but who knows?
In 515 episodes of the show, I've made it plainly clear that I'm not really much for professions in this or any other RPG, for that matter, for the most part. Crafting bores me to tears. I think they've done good things with it lately, and it's a little more integrated, and I did more with it in Legion than I'm used to. But just not really my bag. I'm not at all sad to see first aid go. I don't care about first aid. Like, I mean, part of that is me. I'm in a bit of a privileged position when I go into a raid or I'm, you know, participating in something with a group. We have all we need because everybody's making stuff and I don't have to worry about it. But that being said, first aid, come on, boring. I remember the one time, what is it, Arathi Highlands or somewhere, where you had to do the second big wave of the quest you had to do for first aid. I hated it. Hated every second of it out there.
The triage one was
yes.
The three different people dying. Basically, the idea is you just don't bandage the people who are going to die quickly.
Yeah.
And that's triage. You're just literally going, well, they're already dead.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, it was like a bad episode of MASH up there. I hated it. And plus, all the textures are shit in that part of the world. So I hated going there.
Velagos in the chat brings up a good point. It says leveling first aid as a tailor was a pain. I like the change because obviously you're using the same materials and you have to split those resources then across the two things.
Oh, right.
So, yeah.
Hadn't Makes thought sense. Of that. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Well, be like me and don't tailor anything. All Why I not? Do is skin. I skin. Here's my profession. I skin everything I can skin. Mm-hmm. I still think I should be able to skin humanoids, but whatever. I take their skin back to the auction house and I sell giant stacks of it for fat stacks of cash. That's how you make money.
That's it. And that's great. And then you just buy the stuff rather than making it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the American way. I like it. It's capitalism.
It's such
Why am I going to dirty my hands,
yeah.
you know, sewing some intricate, beautiful tailored pattern when I'm going to sell these still dripping hides and buy it with cold, hard coin. You know, I like it.
Man, did we take some heat this week for mentioning last week that that it's a pain to grind out rep so you can get these allied races after pre-ordering the game?
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. People were really mad. All we said was, if I recall, and
I know it's could, we, but I think it's Scott.
Well,
anyway,
mainly me, sure. But my point was, in fact, all we really did was say, wait a minute, do you get rep when you do a boosted character? And we looked it up and found out no. And we went, oh, okay, yeah, looks like there's no rep for boosting. Anyway, moving on. That was basically our conversation. Some people really like zeroing in on that this week. Like, I have not taken this kind of heat for a long time about an issue in the game.
That's what happens, man. That's what happens. It's a slow news week. Like,
yeah,
you know, people, what? I dislike that. Yeah. But I think the point we were getting at is it felt like allied races are artificially gated. And I wouldn't be surprised, again, if this is Blizzard's plan of they will remove those restrictions after they feel like existing invested players feel like they've had a reward or that they have earned something.
Yeah.
And that actually when Battle for Azeroth comes out, they may lift the restrictions so that, hey, new player or returning player, guess what? Yeah, you can pick a Void Elf if you want to be one of those on the Alliance.
Yeah,
or,
I totally agree. You
know, something like that.
I think that's exactly what they're doing. It's a way for them to A, test it, B, get people excited about the upcoming expansion, and C, gate it a little bit for those who've done the work so that they can say, yeah, I did the work. The rest of you scrubs have to wait. You want to make those guys happy. I get it. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't mean that in a cynical or subversive way. I mean, for real, that part of the player base matters. They worked hard for what they got. They should enjoy those spoils. While I was lazy with Suramar, and I shouldn't get
Well, there you go,
Scott. Treatment.
You didn't do your homework. You don't get to go on the field trip with the rest of us.
Right.
You've got to stay back and repeat third grade.
Yeah. The only real thing I would levy against Blizzard in this particular case was I just think it should have been easier for people to know that they were not going to have access to that stuff unless they were up to snuff with their rep.
Yeah, I think again the marketing material wasn't clear. I don't know. Like I said, they let people buy boosts.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, if you're going to let someone buy a boost, let someone just, you know.
Yeah, you're spending money. It's the real money part.
I don't mind. Like, I don't feel like, you know, I see someone as a high mountain tauren and just be like, oh, wow. Whew. Well done.
Yeah, good job.
You know, it's just, you know, it's just like, all right, cool. You know, it's not that special. We can all do this.
Yeah. I still haven't rolled one because I'm annoyed that it's the one I can only roll right now.
Hey, do you want to be pretty much the same as the other guy, but with a different hairstyle? You know, it's like, okay. But again, Blizzard has to look after the people who are constantly playing their game and eating through all the content and feeling like, you know, that they need some more. I need some more stuff, Blizz. Where's my content? And like, okay, cool. Here you go. Here's this thing. And equally, it kind of punishes those who've kind of lapsed.
Yeah.
So you're there thinking like, oh man, I better not do that again. That really bossed me up last time I took some time out. You know, I can see that there's multiple reasons in there, but ultimately, as with all things Blizzard, I'm sure they'll switch it around.
And this is all just a nice reminder that we're all being socially engineered all the time by everything. So just know that people are being manipulated whether they know it or not, and I'm not saying
that
that's a negative
thing.
That is
sounding like the whispers of Ilganoth, my friend. I'm not sure if I believe you or not.
Yeah, well, who would? So anyway, first aid, goodbye. We loved you, but you're gone now. Sounds like
you're gone. You're dead to me.
If you have $25 US or whatever the equivalent currency transaction
send it to
Terpster or buy Shuzen, the Divine Sentinel mount, which is now available.
Holy moly.
It's like a big pug dog.
It's a big old doggy for Year of the Dog.
Year of the Dog.
Oh, man.
Every game Blizzard makes has a dog in it for this event, I swear.
You got to remember that Blizzard is a very dog-friendly company.
Yeah.
They've all got dogs. Everyone's got dogs. And it's because the life of a game designer is a long, lonely one where you spend, you know, long hours in the office, in the studio, making these fantastic games. And so Blizzard, to stop people leaving and having lives and saying like, oh, so I got to go back, let the dog out. I got to go feed the dog. Yeah. They're like, no, bring your dog. Come bring the dog.
Yeah, bring the dog
here.
That's
great. Sure. Everyone's got a dog. Yeah. And apparently, as long as your dog is well behaved, aka they don't fight with the other dogs or they don't poo everywhere, then the dogs are very welcome within the Blizzard HQ.
That's how you get every job you've ever had. Those were the rules, and you've done that.
I've been fired from every single one. The thing is, it's like I think of it really weird. Like here at the Yogscast, Lewis is deathly allergic to animals and dogs and stuff like that, and it would literally, like, if he went on a tour of Blizzard, he'd just be sneezing the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm thinking, like, how amazing of a game designer could you be but equally allergic to dogs, for Blizzard just to be like, yeah, well, you know, every voice matters, but you know, more of the voices like the dogs, so bye-bye.
Are we saying that Blizzard is anti-cat? Is that what we're saying here?
I think they must be. Evidently, I've not seen it. In fact, actually, did I see a cat there? Maybe there were some cats there, actually.
Yeah. Well, she married Chris and
left.
I feel
like that was. Oh, there was obviously. Yeah, there was a cat there.
Now they have a baby and they're living a quiet life. No, I'm not saying they have a deliberate bias against cats, but listen, other MMOs have cat people that you choose to be for your race. I don't see any cat people in the lineup. Just saying.
What are you talking about? There's the Caldeer or whatever, and there's the Volpera now, who are fox people. They're dog people.
Yeah, they're
dogs.
But
you had the Egyptian kind of panther people. I don't know.
Oh, did they have those?
Mandalari panther. What are the panther people called in Warlords?
Oh, I don't know.
I killed a lot of the Saberons.
The Saberons, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're cats.
That's a terrible name, the Saberons.
I think that's their name.
Anyway,
I like it.
By the way, speaking of Metzen, two things. One, the interview is still coming. He's recovering from a spinal surgery. That'll be soon. And secondly, he's been playing because he's been down with this spinal surgery thing.
Yeah.
And hasn't been able to move much. He's been playing a paladin like
back
a wild
in the
man.
Groove.
Yeah. He's like all back into WoW big time. Yeah. Not the way he used to be, I guess. But
he always played an Alliance human male paladin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, I always felt like it was this weird, dirty secret that Thrall, Warchief of the Horde, the greatest orcish shaman there'd ever been, was voiced by a human paladin.
A human paladin, the vanilla flavor of being a guy in a video game. Vanilla.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, it's up there with you know, like human warriors in Warcraft. I still just don't get. It makes no sense to me. You know, I am a man with no extraordinary powers. That's great. But anyway, sorry. But Metzen is one of the biggest Captain America fans in the world. And I think he sees his human paladin, you know, with their righteous crusader shields and stuff like that, as a Captain America-esque champion of the little guy, underdog.
It's his Soldier 76. It's his, you know, that's just his. Yes, absolutely. He believes in that archetype in a really meaningful, sort of deeply rooted way. And I think that's kind of cool.
There's this amazing piece of art that I think Metzen has. I'm trying to think. Someone has it. And I think it was Metzen. But I can't remember exactly. But it was around the time of the Cataclysm. And it's this absolutely beautiful piece of artwork that has Thrall, and I think it's Cairn Bloodhoof, but it might be Bane. But I think it's Cairn.
Yeah.
And they're rescuing children from rubble. And it's a beautiful kind of, you know, these giant mythical heroes being heroes, you know, and that heroism isn't through, you know, killing a dragon with a big hammer. It's through, you know, using their strength to save those without strength. And
Wei Wang. Yeah, it's really cool. Oh yeah,
have
I forgot
found it?
About
you
it.
It
I did find
it.
Yeah,
it,
here, don't put it in your chat.
Yeah, it's just I think for me it's like the best piece of art that shows what the true Horde is.
Yeah.
And this isn't the Iron Horde. This isn't the Dark Horde. This isn't the original blood crazed Horde. This is what the Horde is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's a beautiful.
Oh, it is Cairn. It's Cairn.
It is Cairn. Yeah. Because I wasn't sure because he died around the time yeah. of this.
And this is very, this is Thrall in his war gear, Thrall. This is not Pearl
yeah,
wearing.
Exactly. And yeah. again, he's there all armored for battle, but what's he doing? He's saving, you know, elves and orcs. And it's just, yeah, it's beautiful.
It's really good.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'd seen that once before, but never in a long time, but there it is. I put the chat, or I put it in the chat. Chat, you guys can check that out. And if you guys at you home are out. Looking for it, just search for Cairn.
Yeah,
Thrall.
Search for Cairn Wei Wang, and just be careful.
yeah, be careful. Yeah. Don't image search that necessarily.
This is on Twitch, so you can watch the VOD back. It's yeah, you can do something.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. All right. Also, so the point is, you can buy that mount for $25. That's the thing.
$25, and this isn't a charity one or anything like that, is it? This is all just straight for Blizz, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. All just a straight up, yeah. Just a new.
So, at what point in a sort of a national or a religious holiday does it get where Blizzard makes a mount for it? Because
I don't know.
Pancake Day, or Shrove Tuesday, but Pancake Day we have in the UK.
Yeah.
And I think it's from Jewish times in terms of you know, Passover and using up all of the stuff to make unleavened bread.
Oh,
or
you mean like the 40-day, 40-night kind of time?
Yeah, Lenten stuff. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like the beginning of that. Yeah, Pancake Day is my favorite.
Oh my gosh, I want that. We don't have that here. We need to.
Well, exactly.
That.
And I kind of feel like, you know, Blizzard, you know, I love the fact they recognize, you know, you're the dog, you can buy a dog. I kind of want some pancakes, you know, so I just kind of.
I mean, you got Christmas stuff for the Winter's Veil deal. You
exactly.
Got,
like, yeah. You know, I just don't know what kind of, how many people need to get behind a holiday before Blizzard makes a mount for it.
Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday,
man. I mean, like, I love tacos.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd eat one now if I had one in front of me. Hey, you guys. How's it going? Taking a minute here to talk to you about Audible.com. Audiobooks are a great way to help you feel better in your day. You know, be a better you, let's say. And for our audience, we're getting a free audiobook with a 30-day trial. And if you want to listen to it, Audible has it. Go to audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500. That's the word wow, W-O-W, to 500-500 and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. Download a free title and just start listening. It's that easy. Whether you want to feel healthier, get motivated, or learn something new, Audible has an audiobook for that. Or you're more interested in science fiction and fantasy and the stuff I'm into, well, they have a huge selection of that, maybe the biggest. I love Audible.com. I listen to audiobooks all the time. I also read books, and so one nice thing about Audible, I don't know if you knew this, but the Kindle will sync with the audio version of the book, and you can pick up right where you were while you're jogging, come home, pick up your Kindle, and pick up where you left off. So there's great cross-compatibility going on there. Anyway, I love it. So here's what you're going to want to do. Check out whatever books you think you might want. For example, how about fiscal books you could use, like You're a Badass at Making Money, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Crypto Assets, The Innovative Investor's Guide to Bitcoin and Beyond. Bitcoin, it's everywhere. Get into it. Or how about The 4-Hour Work Week? I read that. That was a great book, actually. Anyway, send this book and chips. Share a book from your library with anyone. And if it's the first time accepting a book, this feature, they can listen for free. So what's it like? It's like sharing books with your friends. Isn't that cool? Or you can share audio excerpts from your favorite listens with more people. That's pretty cool. Control the speed. If the narration's too slow for you, you're like, man, I got to hustle this up. You can crank that up too. Anyway, here's what I want you to do. Go to audible.com/wow. That's audible.com/wow. Get a free 30-day trial and a free book by doing that. Or you can text WOW to 500-500. That's audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500 on your phone. Thanks, Audible. Check this out.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Oh, yes, it's the town crier. We're going to do a quick one here, an email from Derek, who wrote into theinstance@gmail.com. That is theinstance@gmail.com. And he says this: hey, what is your takes on the new Twitch anti-toxicity standards they announced this week? Do you think this is good, or will they not make much of a difference? Thanks, Derek. So I haven't dug too deep into the changes, but there are a few things. There's some stuff in there, like if you run a website completely outside of Twitch that's full of, I don't know, hate speech or, you know, other undesirable things, and they list a lot of what that would be, they'll ban your account for that. Like they're it doesn't
you
even
can, yeah, you can get banned for off-platform activity.
Yeah.
So
what do you think, as somebody who's really heavily involved in like the YouTube streaming world and all that?
It's really tricky in that I applaud them for taking the what I consider to be the right moral stand. With any of these things, I always get a bit sort of liberal, where I'm like, you know, just because I don't like something doesn't mean that it's not right or not allowed or should be censored. To be honest with you, when it comes to like hate speech and stuff like that, I think most people can agree that's not really acceptable. And often, but I kind of feel like if you're constantly shot down, you push people out to fringes and they congregate with other people who've been pushed out to fringes, rather than having some form of discourse and trying to answer some of those preconceptions. So I always think it's always a bit risky. It's a bit like, the government in the UK wants to put, you know, a great firewall like they have in China to save us from all of the horrendous pornography. And I've been doing a lot of research, and some of it is. But if they had the ability to just kind of blacklist a site, then that's great for the like really horrible illegal stuff. But what happens if, you know, say, I don't know, say like, I just pick a hypothetical. Say like our prime minister had sex with a porn star and then paid the money as to hush it.
Yeah, this is by the way, no parallel to the story. We don't know any. There's no other examples of it.
I'm just saying, like, you know, hypothetically, say Theresa May, you know, paid for intercourse with an adult film star.
Yeah.
And then paid some hush money and all the rest.
Yeah. 130,000, let's just say, is
they
a round
in theory
number.
Would have the infrastructure.
Yeah.
To remove that from the internet,
right?
And then all of a sudden people start talking about that, and all of a sudden that's, whoa, hang on, we don't agree with that. You know, it's not that it would happen, but it's that it could happen. And I think it's a little bit like net neutrality, in that if people don't speak up about it, it's gonna go away. And but I think for the most part, you know, with Twitch's changes, I don't think any of that's a risk. But I always worry when someone somewhere gets to decide what is and isn't acceptable
for everybody
with very broad terms. However, Twitch is owned by Amazon. They're a private company or a public company or whatever. They're not a government.
Right.
You know, they don't have to let everyone use their service. Obviously, they want to. And so if they find that something is, Kilmarnock says there, another hypothetical, say a previous prime minister, stuck his gentleman sausage in a pig, say that happened, you know, that could have been a story that could have been censored and removed. I think on the whole, Twitch becoming a less toxic atmosphere is extremely healthy and something that definitely everyone wants. I want Twitch to be the sort of place where I can let my kids enjoy content, at the same time, I don't think that if there is content that isn't suitable for those kids, that it shouldn't be allowed on Twitch. I just think that it should be easily defined and censored from my end. And I always think if people take responsibility for what they consume and how they consume it and how they interact with the stuff they've consumed, that it makes for a much better world all over.
Yeah. I agree. And how it affects, there's, you know, lots and lots of Blizzard games being played by lots and lots of very popular streamers. How it affects them, probably they already are practicing a lot of this stuff anyway, because they make their living, or at least part of it, on Twitch.
And I mean, obviously, you know, we got Logan Paul on the YouTube side of things, you know, filmed a dead body in a suicide forest for views.
Yeah.
And
now he's shocking dead rats or
rightfully
something.
Rightfully got a lot of pushback from that.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like
that is where the line I kind of feel like the market should do this. Like, you know, if people disagree with a content creator, they should stop watching that content creator. And if the platform chooses to disagree with that, then it's their rights to demonetize or ban that content creator. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway,
you're a free market conservative. You just don't know it.
I think so. I just don't think that also makes me, you know, evil.
I don't either. I don't either.
It's this American thing, and I don't want to get into it, but I am, in terms of people who say that, oh, there's been this horrific tragedy. Now's not the time to talk about how we prevent horrific tragedies.
Yeah.
Now is 100% the time to talk about it.
Yeah.
And in all fairness, America, when is it not the time? You know, how long is it till it happens again? Yeah. And you're like, oh, hang on. Oh, it's not been 8 days yet. We've had another one. We've got to start the clock again. We can't talk about how we're going to try and fix this.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the solution is easy. I'm not saying I have the solution. I live in a country where this doesn't happen regularly. I know there's a lot of other countries around the world where this doesn't happen regularly. America is the only country in the world where this happens regularly.
Yeah.
And I think that people don't talk about it for fear of offending people. But I fear that people will die because not enough people are talking about it.
Yeah.
And if the general consensus is genuinely, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, in fact, I'm really worried we need to give the teachers guns now. And maybe I'm going to buy some more guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those sorts of things are, you know, if that's the direction people want to go, that's the direction they want to go. That's fine. But people should talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think the idea of my teachers in our school district are still just trying to make sure they have enough staplers and toner for the copier.
No, exactly. No. Yeah. And I mean, geez, I mean, we don't have, you know, corporal punishment here, but you know, back in the day when teachers had like the cane and they could, you know, smack a kid, you know, if a teacher's packing a Glock, holy crap, like, you know, I don't know how that goes. Like, yeah, the school, you know, like, yeah, I was a bit of a class clown. I don't think I would have developed much of a sense of humor. I'll be honest with you, I think I would, you know, be like Fiddy sent up in here with I've been shot a few times, but I do walk with a limp actually. So
it's a little bit like saying I'm allergic to urine. Well, then you should just pee on it and see if it goes away. It's this kind of the same to me. That's the scenario.
I don't know exactly. And weird. Like I said, it's a super complicated issue, and I get that, you know, it's very deep and nuanced and all the rest.
Yeah. And by the way, if people are hearing us talk right now, don't spend your week yelling at us because you don't like when something
up. That's fine. Do it. Tell us.
All right.
You know, because that's how it works. If people don't like it and it's like, oh, hang on. So when we did that bit where you talked about gun control, we've lost 20,000 listeners. I'd be like, oh, shit. Sorry, Scott. That's probably not the right place to do that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, the market has spoken.
Yeah.
And I have chosen to adapt my content to suit. And I think that's fine. That's how things change.
Yep.
And I think that's the thing, is if people don't like something, they should talk about it.
Yep.
And it's not to say that that means like, oh, I don't like this, it will change.
Yep.
It's just saying, you know, okay, you don't like it. Cool. That's nice to know.
Yeah.
You know, I'll figure out the rest.
I agree. Look what you did, Derek. You got us really talking here.
Sorry.
No, this is good.
The Horde is the best.
Good job.
Alliance can suck on my Johnson. Scott Johnson, is my good friend.
Oh yeah, well you can lick my underscore T.
That's what you mean. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
My taint.
Your taint.
That's what the T stands for. There we go. All these years, we never knew.
We never knew, but now we do.
So there we go.
Send your emails to theinstance@gmail.com. That's going to do it for the show today. You got anything you want to pimp this week? You good?
I'm trying to think of what's happening. I've got some cool things coming up. I am going to be in America in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping I can do a show over there. So we've got a couple more weeks of me being on here, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully some more after that.
So you're flying to, can you say where you're going?
I'm going to LA and then I'm going to San Francisco. I was going to try and come over to Utah.
Yeah, you were going to spend some time here in Salt Lake. It's not going to happen now. Yeah,
sucks.
That's a bummer.
Next time.
Yeah, sure. You're, you know, always a place for you here.
But, well, that's the problem is I will just turn up. You're just going to be one day and you'd be like, oh, hey, well, it's great to see you. It's just, you know, Kim and I were trying to have a romantic weekend alone. But no, it's fine. You can come in. I'll be like,
in here. It's fine. Pop down. Set a spell.
Can I log in over here? Oh, my authenticator's back home. Hang on. I'll be back in 2 days.
So is this trip, I mean, I don't know if you can say, it's not Blizzard related or is it?
No, it's not Blizzard related.
Okay.
No.
All right. It's just some other deal. All right. Well, that's good. And you'll be flying with Lewis, which means you'll have all the...
money in the world. So, yeah. I'm like, no, my friend, the famous YouTuber, will get this.
Yeah, he'll take care of it.
I'm not doing any of that.
I love that. All right, well, there's that. Let me tell people or remind them anyway that we started a little D&D campaign here on the network.
Oh, yes, I heard this.
Yeah, it's called There Will Be Dungeons. You can get all the details at therewillbedungeons.com. We are in our fourth session this Saturday. We've been playing 3 hours every Saturday for the last 4 weeks and been having a blast. People seem to really like it. So if you're into D&D, want to hear our campaign, check it out. That's 3 p.m. Mountain.
They might be dungeons or there might be
there
dungeons?
There will be dungeons.
Okay. I was thinking that they might be giants. Yeah. That's why I keep...
That's okay. You
know, now that song's in my head now.
You can... it's also on Twitter. There be dungeons on Twitter. If you tried to spell out there will be dungeons on Twitter, it says there will be dung. So we couldn't do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a character limit. So we got screwed there. So instead, it's There Be Dungeons. But anyway, it's therewillbedungeons.com, and it's a blast. We're having way too much fun. I can tell you that much. It's a complete riot. So check it out. Other than that, I guess that's it. We continue to be thinking about Patrick. I hope he's doing well and isn't, you know, too in over his head as a new father, a French father.
He is the most capable man I know, I'm sure he'll be struggling like the rest of us.
Yeah, probably, which is okay and just fine for him. He needs a little work in his life. Instant Show on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. You can find Terpster at _T, and you can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, and for T. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I like that bit. I like the doodly bit at the end.
That's your favorite bit, is the doodly bit.
Yeah, I like it. But I like the drum bit as well.
Yeah.
And then I like the doodly bit. So I should try and dumb down. I'm using a lot of technical vernacular here.
Yeah, the doodly bit.
Because I too am a composer and a songwriter. Yeah. You know,
I wrote the Christmas classic.
Mm-hmm. Co-wrote the Christmas classic Carrot for a Cock, which was obviously, you know, a huge success.
Uh-huh.
And a charity single as well. Does Santa Claus Visit Zombie Pigmen Kids in the Nether at Christmas?
Oh, wow.
Both fantastic Christmas charity songs there. So,
his new album is called this. You had a cheesy chode. Whoop, that's the wrong volume. Hold on here. Here's his new album.
You had a cheesy chode.
You had a cheesy chode. That comes out in the spring.
That was it. And it was inspired. Those words were said to me by the doctor.
Yeah.
And I said, you just inspired a whole new song.
That's right.
A whole new album.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, but you should really see me about that because I'm a doctor.
And the track on there I'm most excited about is this one.
Show Me That Penis.
Show Me That Penis is going to be
good. Yeah, Show Me That Penis. Again, it was the same doctor, actually. It was weird. Turned out afterwards, wasn't a doctor, but I don't want to ruin the B-side. who knows?
Also, it'll be premiering at...
It's called JizzCon.
JizzCon. So looking forward to that. I got a lot of clips
of
you.
I like how this is a soundboard of me saying just inappropriate things.
Yeah, I have about 100 of you, and they're all that. They're all things like that.
Oh, dick related. That's great. I mean, I like to be quite broad with my humor. Exactly.
You like a good dick joke.
Sudden subscription slump seems somewhat suspicious. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. If there's one thing that many heroes in World of Warcraft have in common, it's an obsessive compulsion to seek and collect rare items. One of those items is the fabled Love Rocket, and every February, Blizzard expects subscription numbers to rise as people return to Azeroth to slake their missile madness during Love is in the Air holiday. But despite all expectations, ODN has learned that February subscription numbers actually fell during the past few years. Even curiouser, our crack investigative team had discovered that a large portion of the missing subscribers were all tied to just a few credit cards based in Silicon Valley, and that the lost income totaled approximately $90 million. Now that would have been the end of the story had it not been for the sharp eyes of one of our freelance researchers. She was watching the live feed of the Tesla Roadster speeding away from Earth and noticed a refrigerator magnet on the glove box door. Under the magnet was a piece of paper labeled itinerary, which included Earth orbit, Mars, and asteroids. The fact that the magnet was in the shape of a Falcon Heavy but had love written on it suggests that Elon Musk decided it was cheaper to build his own version of the mount than to pay for all those alts. The last item on the itinerary pretty much confirms it, barely visible under numerous scratch-out marks with the words, Shadow Fang Keep. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.